The Walk on the Moon.
5 minutes away from man's first walk on the lunar surface and utterance of the first words from Armstrong as he plants his feet onto the crusty lunar soil. The astronauts are donning portable life support systems that will sustain them during the 2 hours and 40 minutes they will spend without Eagle's protection. The first event after the hatch door swings open will be Neil Armstrong descending backward down a 9-step ladder. His first task will be to check out the portable life support system and make sure it is performing reliably, keeping his body temperature even and also providing him with oxygen. He will grab some lunar soil and stuff it in a pocket on the leg of his suit. This is a contingency sample so that if for any reason they must leave Tranquility Base abruptly, at least they will carry back to Earth a sample of moon soil. Other collections of moon soil will come later in the programmed EVA. Armstrong already has described the boulders and rocks that surround the Tranquility Base and has promised geologists on Earth an ample sample of moon soil. After he has been out for about 20 minutes, Buzz Aldrin will descend the ladder and join him in their 2 hours and 40 minutes of moonwalking. Dean Mell, NBC News at the Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston.
The drama of the actual landing on the moon has quite naturally captured the imagination of the world on this mission. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that after that part of the Apollo 11 project, there remains the return and the recovery, always one of the hazards of spaceflight. The prime recovery ship this time will be the Carrier Hornet, which will be in a position to pick up the men about 1,200 miles southwest of Hawaii just after midday next Thursday. President Nixon will be on the Hornet, but there'll be none of the usual welcoming hugs and handshakes, as we mentioned earlier, because the astronauts have to go into immediate quarantine for at least 3 weeks. They'll put on special quarantine suits brought to the capsule by frogmen from the Hornet. A disinfectant will be used on the suits, on the capsule, and even on the path that the astronauts take from the recovery helicopter to the mobile quarantine trailer. And once inside the trailer, which is 35 feet long and some 9 feet wide, the astronauts will remove their quarantine suits and settle down to the quarantine period, which will end on August the 12th, if they are cleared by the doctors. Lloyd Bulmer, talking about the furtherance of the space program and the USA, as we were before when we were interrupted, talking about Mars as being the possible next project in the U.S. space program. Do you think that will be a reality?
Well, right now, the United States has two unmanned space probes heading towards Mars.
Roger, you're coming through loud and clear, Buzz. The beautiful thing. Neil's got his antenna up now. Let's see if he comes through any better now. Okay, Houston, this is Neil. How do you read?
Neil, this is Houston. Reading you beautifully.
Your antenna scratching the roof, Roger.
They're in their spacesuits, of course, and in the spacesuit, sealed in the spacesuit.
Do we have a go for Captain Deep Breath?
They're each small space stations, and now you just heard their go for Deep Breath.
Houston, this is Tranquility. We're standing by for a go for Captain Deep Breath. Over.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. You are go for Captain Deep Pressurization. Go for Captain Deep Pressurization.
That's the last stage. That's the last step before opening the hatch.
Where valve is verify cabin fan number one, circuit breaker open. Over.
This procedure should take a little less than 2 minutes.
We'll have to pull that one out.
Cabin depressurization beginning.
Wait a minute.
They could be opening that hatch in a minute or so now.
Columbia, this is Houston. Your LEM line of sight comm acquisition with the Tranquility Base is 108 plus 29er. LOS is 108 plus 42. Over.
The circuit really found auto.
Did auto?
Suit gas converter valve to egress.
it'll be on this side of the moon another 19 minutes before he loses signal going around on the far side of the moon. So he'll be available to relay messages from the lunar module. The communication should be lost for no reason, and he can step out on the moon.
This is Lloyd Robertson at our studio in Toronto, and just while we're waiting for those pictures when Neil Armstrong steps out onto the moon, this is a live picture of the moon from a camera in Toronto that you're looking at right now, live.
Yeah.
Depressurization began, I mean, they're now equalizing the pressure in the lunar module.
This is Houston. We'd like you to pull the suit fan Delta C circuit breaker on panel 16, over.
These are heart-stopping moments, too, as we wait for word that they are opening the hatch. Now, after they get, we have the word from them that they have completed depressurization. Then they open.
It's installed, locked, and lock.
They're following a very careful routine or procedure here and checking off each item as they go. After they get the depressurization complete, open the hatch, it'll probably take about 10 minutes.
All right, check my rear balance vertical.
For Armstrong to get out of that hatch and start down those steps. Actually, now that the men are in the spacesuits and using their little antenna, it emerges from their spacesuit. We really have two radio stations inside a third station. Each of them is a station in himself, identifying themselves now by no code names, but their real names, Neil, and, well, Buzz, you can call that a code name, and the space base itself as Tranquility Base. Could be expected that the transmission from them will improve somewhat when they get outside. Their antenna, as they said a moment ago, are touching the spacecraft walls occasionally now and causing some of the interference. During this period, the capsule communicator is Bruce McCandless. The voice of mission control is Jack Riley. When Armstrong gets down, he steps a couple of steps away from the lunar module.
The comm now, Houston. Buzz, this is Houston. The comm is very good. You're coming through loud and clear, and Mike passes on the word that he's receiving you and following your progress with interest.
Mike's got about five more minutes to do that before he disappears on the other side of the moon as far as communication with the Earth goes. That clothesline attachment attached right under Neil Armstrong's chin. When he gets out, he stretches that taut, and then Aldrin passes equipment, things he needs, to him down that line. Then when they get ready to send their rock samples and what back up, they reverse that procedure. Aldrin gets aboard, and Armstrong again pulls on the line, just like on a clothesline, sends the rock sample box up into the lunar module. Seems with all of these millions of dollars worth of equipment, it's rather a strange way to get the material up and down the steps, but obviously the easiest way. You know, this is the first event, series of events, in the entire mission planning of Apollo 11 that has run behind schedule. Is this preparation for the extravehicular activity. This is the first thing that's taking longer than they planned on it taking. They've now been underway in this operation for 2 hours and 40 minutes almost, maybe even more than that. We didn't have an exact timeline on when they started, but it was only planned for an hour 55 minutes to get ready. It's taken them now almost half again as long as they planned.
This is typical of these suits. There's a high risk of the suit not being completely sealed off, right? So you go through some laborious checks. Once it's all put together, the suit's perfectly safe. But in the process, you must
Houston,
be very careful.
Neil, this is Houston. I read you loud and clear, and I read both the comments that said, I wonder if we're triggering all the time, and I don't think so.
prior to that, it was relatively quiet. Over.
Okay, we're hearing a little bit of background noise, and I just wanted to make sure that we weren't continually keyed.
It don't sound like it.
It's interesting, Wally, that we have word from Houston that they're apparently tying four other astronauts into the loop and communicate directly with these men as they get down on the moon's surface. That's partly because I guess they'll be monitoring two of them, two space stations.
Hey, this is Houston. Would you verify your RCU vent window clear? Over.
What's the vent window?
That's verified. Roger.
I didn't understand.
Verify that your vent window is clear.
Well, I'm not sure, though. That must be on the PLSS, I'm sure, the life support system.
Besides capsule communicator, astronaut Bruce McCandless, who is the capsule communicator, Jack Schmidt, the astronaut who is also a geologist, and Jim Lovell, who is a veteran of the Apollo 8 crew, Deke Slayton, the chief of flight crew operations, chief astronaut, since Pete Conrad, the commander of Apollo 12, is due to take the next flight to the moon. They are all in mission control and able to talk to Armstrong and Aldrin now.
Well, this has been our pattern to have those best prepared and those who are about to go on the next mission close at hand during the mission. Of course, Jim Lovell was backup crew commander, so he is probably the best prepared at this point in time to judge what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pressures on both vehicles reading 4.9 pounds per square inch. Columbia's temperature 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Eagle's temperature 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
We've just gotten here at our CBS News headquarters desk the front page of the two New York morning newspapers. This is how the New York Times likes to think of itself as the principal newspaper of record. Will show in its files forevermore this great historic day. Men land on the moon. Two astronauts avoid crater, set craft on a rocky plain. Over on the left, the story written by John Noble Wilford of the landing. Over on the right, in two columns, the text of the transmission, the first words from the moon, and down below a poem by Archibald MacLeish, Voyage to the Moon, which perhaps we'll have an opportunity to read to you a little later with his typical skill. Archibald MacLeish
is Houston, any joy on the land that
lovely
path,
thing.
Over.
And here is the New York Daily News, the morning, other morning newspaper in New York. Man lands on the moon.
Walter Cronkite and Wally Schirra are talking here about this move down from the capsule onto the surface of the moon. This is a picture we're looking at live from Toronto. It's Lloyd Robertson at the Toronto studio here of the moon moving around slowly behind the weather beacon in downtown Toronto. We are very close to the moment now, and this is a look at Toronto City Hall as these men are about to step out of the moon. Look at these young people gathering around watching the television screen.
Neil, this is Houston. What's your status on hatch opening? Over.
Houston, what's your... Everything is go here. We're just waiting for the cabin pressure to bleed to low enough pressure to open the hatch. It's about 0.1 on our gauge now. Neil, this is Houston. Over. Roger, we're showing a relatively static pressure on your cabin. Do you think you can open the hatch at this pressure, about 0.12 PSI?
We're going to try it.
Roger.
The hatch is coming open.
Hatch reported coming open at 109 hours, 8 minutes, 5 seconds. Correction, 109.07.35.
Houston has to keep a close eye, of course, on the command module, which is the vehicle to bring these men home after a successful spacewalk, unless Mike Collins keep that vehicle running and running well under the advisory at Houston. There's no way for the fellows to get home after a successful spacewalk.
For 16 and a half minutes.
All preparations that they have been taking.
Yeah, this is Houston. We show you near the antenna scan limit. When you lose lock on us, we request Omni Delta. Omni Delta when you lose lock, over.
Delta. Delta when you lose. I'm gonna go to. That mic went up a little bit.
Okay, my window, sir.
Your windows are clear. I'm six circuit is. 4243.
This is all.
And I've got FN pressure light, a preamp light, and an ECS light.
Yeah,
and
we got a water separator light.
A water, I'll check.
Right.
And I'll look at your cabin fan, one circuit breaker, you look at the glycol secondary.
These are the conversations between Neil Armstrong and Ed Aldrin in the lunar module as Armstrong gets ready to step out. And,
Neil Armstrong, suit pressure, 4 point.
It's cooling now. Be there. Glycol pump secondary circuit breaker open. I can see this. I have to lean this way.
Can't go any further.
My cabin fan one is, Yeah, that's good. Can you check it?
Through this checklist of the various suit functions.
Your back is up against the bird. Did you line up nicely? It bored me a little bit. Down? Okay, made it clear. It's catching the first hinge at the bottom. The what hinge? I move your roll to the left.
For those of us who can't look outside a window and see the balloon because of cloud cover, that's the way it looks over Southern California at the moment.
They're
just a little bit to the side of that Terminator line over to the right.
Just slightly to the right of that line.
The black line.
It'll never look the same again, will it?
Afraid not.